Well, it's a very good morning from me, John Fradgley, with you for the next half an hour here on your nice and easy listening radio station, 4CRB. The Law on You is the program, and it's your opportunity to get free legal advice. All we'd like you to do is give us a call on that number, 55208888. It's 55208888. Please don't leave those calls to the last 5 or 10 minutes of the program. We'd much rather hear from you as early as possible in the program. And who knows, you could be our very first caller online this morning. Don't forget, if you're south of the Tweed River, you need to put 07 in front of the number, and you can always use our email address, talkback@4crb.com. If you're unable to get to the phone and make a call during the program today, or you can actually call during office hours and leave a message of your question, if that's more convenient, if you don't have access to email but can't call during the program. So you can call on other days during office hours, and the very kind reception staff will take a note of your question and send it through to me to answer on the program. But enough of that. Just getting back to Robert, you may remember our first caller last week was Robert, who queried with the abolition of paper titles in Queensland whether it is possible to lodge a caveat over your own property. And in fact, we've got a Robert on the line at the moment, so we might just take that call and see if it's the same Robert. Good morning, Robert. How are you today?
Good. Yeah, another Robert this time.
Okay, that's okay. Going well. How can we help you today?
John, binding nomination form.
Yep.
Where do you get that from, firstly?
Right. Well, normally, it depends. Is it for a retail or an industry fund or for a self-managed fund?
Just a self-managed fund.
Okay. Normally, the form is in the back of the trust deed that set up the super fund. So you should check, because the one thing that's very important about completing a binding death benefit nomination is that it should, if the deed says that it will be in the form in the schedule to this deed, then you need to use that form for it to be valid. So take a look at that, and if there is no form of deed in there, then I would suggest that you speak to your accountant or perhaps your financial advisor, who may be able to assist you with the form. There is no set form other than the fact that it must be signed in the presence of two independent witnesses. That's normally a requirement for all binding death benefit nominations. The other thing you need to check, of course, is whether the trust deed permits a binding death benefit nomination. That's the first thing. And then secondly, whether it permits a non-lapsing binding death benefit nomination. So you need to check all of those things before you actually proceed to complete it.
All right. And who can witness it?
Any adult person, as long as they're not a person who's going to benefit from the superannuation.
All right. Thank you very much for that, John. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you do the same, Robert. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just past 9 minutes past 10. 55208888 is our number. If you have a question or a query, that's 55208888. And going back to our, that's ironic, isn't it, that we had a Robert as our first caller last week and a Robert as our first caller this week. But going back to last week's Robert, he was querying whether with the abolition of paper titles in Queensland, whether for added security it is possible for you to lodge a caveat over your own property. And I did a little bit of research in relation to this, because property matters are no longer my area of practice. My area now is virtually exclusively estate planning, asset protection, estate planning. But I did have one of the lawyers do some research for me, and they found that it is permissible for the owner of a property, the registered owner of a property, to lodge a caveat over their own property, and it comes under Section 122 of the Land Titles Act in Queensland. Interestingly, as part of my quick look at the subject, I also found that although they still have paper titles in New South Wales, it's also possible for the registered owner of property in New South Wales to lodge a caveat over their property. And of course, the reason why Robert was concerned about this is because of the incidents in the past of people defrauding people out of their real estate by posing as the registered owner and proceeding to sell. And I was pointing out that over the last few years, the requirements to enable you to do that have been tightened dramatically, such that it is a requirement, a legal requirement, that you be identified as the seller and registered owner of the property by appropriate identification to ensure that that sort of situation can't arise. So although certainly no one can say that it will never happen, the likelihood of it happening, whether you've got a paper title or an electronic title, is certainly far less than what it was in the past. But enough of that. We've got another caller online. We'll say a very good morning to Mary. G'day, Mary. How are you today?
Well, thank you, John.
That's good. How can we help?
Yes, I have my neighbors are building, have demolished the old house and are building a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And their retaining wall is touching our fence. Is that legal?
Sorry, the wall of their home is touching your fence?
Yes, the one that they are building, they have a retaining wall that
right.
they have built.
Yep.
And then it turns and comes at an angle towards our fence and is touching the fence. I thought it had to be 1 meter away from the earth.
Yes, well, look, it depends okay. on the regulations that apply in the area where you live, Mary. I think the quickest way to get an answer to your question, which local authority area are you in, Gold Coast or Tweed?
Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. I think the quickest way to get an answer would be to ring the building services section of the Gold Coast City Council and just make an inquiry of them as to whether they're permitted to do what they're doing. I would find it very hard to believe that they would be doing this if they're not permitted, because they do, of course, now have what are referred to as zero lot line allotments, which means that you can build right to the boundary. So it's just a matter of finding out from the council whether you're in an area where that's permitted. And I suppose the second question is whether the wall that they've built, which is touching your fence, whether it is a wall of the home or it's a retaining wall. Because if it's a retaining wall...
Yes, it's a retaining wall.
Yes, well, they may then be going to build on top of that, yes. but come back the required setback if, in fact, it is not a zero lot line area. So I think the first thing I would be doing would be making some inquiries of the Gold Coast City Council.
Yes. Which department?
The building services department.
Yes, Thanks
so
a
if
lot,
you give them
John.
A call, and they certainly should be able to assist you with that.
Thanks a lot.
All right, all the very best. And you do the same. And we have Algernon on the phone. Good morning, Algernon. How are you? I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Hello?
Yes.
Elgin.
How are you, Elgin?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, good. Quick question, maybe not your area of expertise, although you're a lawyer, you've probably been to school longer than I have. Simple question, and I know it's not related to the, say, the building area that you're in, but you know the will kits that they have?
Yep.
Or to go to a lawyer to make a new will?
Yep.
Would that supersede a previous wills and ones that have perhaps been made by the trustee? The trustee's office is a free will situation.
Yep.
But then I heard that there's been a big inquiry into a lot of stuff that's been going on with them.
Right.
And so I want to dispose of the will that I made some years ago with the trustees.
Right. Well, the important thing when you're making a new will, Elgin, is that the new will that you make contain a revocation clause. So in other words, there must be a clause in the new will which says,
right.
I revoke all former wills.
I revoke, okay.
Yeah. Okay,
that,
so...
That can be done in a will kit or
well,
probably more,
well, you,
more
well,
just to go to a lawyer and do it properly.
I had a question about this, I think, last week or the week before, actually, and I mean, not just because I'm a lawyer, but I do believe it is far better to have your will done by a lawyer than to use a will kit, because we see will kits and homemade wills represented disproportionately in problems that arise during estate administration. So clauses that aren't written correctly and all sorts of problems arising. So I think for the small cost involved, particularly if you're getting a standard or simple will done, it's money well spent.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay,
you have a lovely day.
Thanks. Yes, and you do the same. And you're in tune with 4CRB. The time is just coming up to 16 minutes past 9. The Law and You is the program. 55208888 is our number. That's 55208888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Are damaged or collapsed rollers making your sliding glass or security door difficult or dangerous to use? Worn rollers can permanently damage the track. If you would like your doors sliding properly and safely again, call our station sponsor Easy Slide on 55228373. Easy Slide cover the Tweed and Gold Coasts, and if they can't fix your sliding door, they're visitors free, guaranteed. Call Easy Slide, that's EZI Slide on 55228373.
And this is The Law on You on 4CRB. Our telephone number, 55208888. That's 55208888. The lines are presently free, so if you have a question or a query and you'd like to get straight through, call us right now. In the meantime, I did mention earlier about people calling in when they're not able to ring up during the program, and Jane was one of these people who rang in during the week saying that she lives on acreage and that the neighbour has a tree that's about 1.3 metres from the boundary, but the tree is starting to die on her side, and it's got substantial overhanging branches onto her property that are dead, and she's worried that they're going to possibly fall on her horses. So obviously fairly big branches which could potentially cause injury to the horses. And the question was whether she can cut the dead branches off the overhang that overhang the property and use them for her own purposes. Well, the short answer to that question is yes, you can. The Neighbourhood Disputes Dividing Fences and Trees Act, which came in Queensland in 2011, basically permits you to cut back a tree to the boundary line. And under the current legislation, or under the new legislation, it is not a requirement that you pass back the cut branches or indeed fruit on an overhanging branch to the neighbour. So you can cut back to the boundary. I think it's always advisable to speak to your neighbour about what you're going to do before you do it, because I think one of the very important things is to maintain friendly relations with your neighbour. So, Jane, if I was you, I would speak to the neighbour about the fact, about what you're going to do. And I think the neighbourly thing to do in most circumstances is certainly not to put the cut back branches back onto your neighbour's property, although I know when there are tensions running in some areas, some people do that. So, Jane, I hope that assists you with that query. But we have a couple of callers online, and we'll say a very good morning to Susie. G'day, Susie. How are you?
Yeah, good morning.
How can I help?
I'm just wondering if you know anything about body corporate and towing in strata.
Sorry, body corporate and what in strata? Towing.
Towing? Towing, yes.
What sort of towing?
Towing cars.
Oh, so what? There's a car parked illegally or something, and the body corporate want to tow it away.
Not exactly. My friend had their son's car towed from the basement, and when we discovered the towing contract was only signed by the manager and not approved by the body corporate, and the body corporate never approved the towing.
Right.
The manager took it upon himself to tow. Is that your area of expertise?
Well, it's not my area of expertise, Susie, but I would think that the things that come to mind in relation to this are these. Firstly, there would need to be a bylaw that says that vehicles parked illegally will be towed. And secondly, I would have thought that unless the manager's contract specifically permits them to sign contracts or to engage towing contractors, such as you're saying, that would not entitle the manager to do that. So I would have thought in that situation that that the person, presumably there were towing charges involved and all sorts of rigmarole.
Yeah. Yes, my friend has paid $250 to get their son's car back.
Yes, well that would have been the towing contractor who imposed that charge. So I would think that your friend should be able to recover that money from the body corporate. And what I would suggest they could do as a first point of call would be to call the office of the body corporate commissioner.
Yes.
Have you got a pen handy?
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
All right. Well, I would suggest calling them because, you know, my first reaction to it is that if there is no bylaw that permits, this parking is illegal and that says that cars will be towed away, then I certainly think there is going to be cause to take action. It very well may be that you end up in QCAT, the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal, bringing an action to recover it. But I would have thought the first point would be to try and bring the matter before the body corporate committee.
Yes, my friend tried to do that and hasn't had any luck. Mm. And the committee are actively breaching a visitor car parking bylaw that says the parking upstairs outside is visitor car parking and they're occupying these parks with their own second and third cars in the visitor car parking. And that's why my friend's son parked for a very short time in another owner's car park.
He
had permission from the occupant of that car park.
Right, okay.
And parked there for a very short time and came to get his car.
Mm.
And they were just devastated. Like it was.
Yep.
And the manager knew full well whose car that was because under the Towing Act, I believe they have to make reasonable attempt to locate the motorist before towing under the new towing laws.
Yes. No, well, I'm certainly not aware of that, but I suppose the question there is whether that law applies to private property or only to public streets.
Apply to private property. My friend's sort of gone through that.
Yes. Well, as I say, I think Susie, the appropriate place to go would be the office of the body corporate commissioner.
Okay.
Alternatively, what part of the Gold Coast does your friend live?
Runaway Bay.
Right, okay. The other alternatives would be for the friend to get in touch with the Gold Coast Community Legal Aid Centre in Southport. If you've got a pen there, I'll give you the number.
Sure.
5532.
Yes.
9611.
9611.
Yes.
Thank all right, you then. So much
okay,
for your
Susie.
Help. I appreciate
all the best.
That. Thank you.
Time on 4CRB just past 23 minutes past 9. As we say, good morning to Tony. Good day, Tony. How are you? Hello, Tony. Are you there?
Yes, Tony here.
Yeah. How can I help, Tony?
I just noise complained. Look, these kids playing basketball next door. I know it's pretty stupid, but they bounce the ball. It's right outside my window, and they bounce the ball for about 2 or 3 hours every night and on the weekend. So I approached them and asked them if they could stop a couple of nights ago, and they just still carry on doing it with their parents. They're a nice family and all that, but just gets annoying after a little while. I don't know what the noise
Have you spoken to the parents?
Yes, I've spoken to the parents. Yes.
All right. And so what time do they do it until?
From maybe 3:30 till about 6, 7 o'clock and on the weekends all day nearly. It just gets annoying after a while, you know.
Yes, yes. No, look, I can fully understand that. Look, I don't know that you would have any recourse under the noise abatement legislation because I think that normally only applies to noise over a certain decibel reading and more often after 10 p.m. at night. But that's about the only thing that I could think. As I say, look, I would perhaps maybe try and go and see the neighbours again. I mean, the other side of it is, of course, that, we want to be encouraging our youth to be outside exercising rather than sitting inside before a screen. So it's one of those difficult issues, isn't it, Tony? I sympathise with you because if it's American basketball and you've got the thud, 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 it'd nearly be as bad as doof-doof music, I should think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no problem. Thanks for your help.
Okay, sorry I can't help further on that one.
No, it's all good. All right, thanks very much.
Okay, and all the best. Well, we have one more caller online. That's Peter with the time at 25 minutes past nine. Good morning, Peter. How are you today?
G'day, John. How are you going, mate?
Going well. How can I help you?
John, BFA, do you know anything about those?
Yes, a little bit.
How long do they last for? I signed one 10 years ago and now I'm separated now.
Right.
And I need to know, is there any recall on new properties that the person has bought? Have I got any claims in there at all?
What, against property that that your partner has acquired?
Yes.
Well, it'll depend on the terms of the BFA, Peter. So you would probably, if he or she is still around, I would be going back and seeing the lawyer that drew the BFA up for you, and just have them go through it if you don't feel comfortable to go through it yourself. Alternatively, what area of the Gold Coast do you live?
At Runaway Bay.
Runaway Bay. So the other alternative might be, if you've got a copy of the agreement, to take it or to call the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre that I was just talking about a moment ago. They're located in Railway Street at Southport. Have you got a pen handy?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, so their number's 5532 9611. So as a starting point, what I would suggest you do is probably go in or give them a call and make an appointment to go in and see them to discuss the agreement. They might be able to look through the agreement for you and provide some preliminary advice. Or, as I say, the other alternative would be to go back and see the lawyer who acted for you when the agreement was originally drawn.
Yeah, that one in Railway Street, John, is that a free service?
Yes, it is.
It's a free service, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll pull out the BFA and I'll take it into them and see where I stand with that.
All right. Okay. Well, all the best with that then, Peter.
Okay. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Bye. Well, the time is just coming up to 27 and a half minutes past nine. Probably time for just one very quick caller. If there's someone out there who has a question or a query and would like to have it answered before we finish the program today. Just a couple of things that are worth mentioning. You undoubtedly would have seen on the news today that the AUSTRAC, the anti-money laundering organisation within Australia, has announced that it is looking into the National Australia Bank, Crown, Perth, Sky City Adelaide and the Star Casino in Sydney in relation to breaches of the money laundering laws. These are always a problem, of course, for casinos because of the often large amounts of cash that are dealt with through those, and you would undoubtedly be aware of the problems confronting the Crown Casino in Melbourne, which were well publicised about these things. But I think the important thing about it is that it is good to see that organisations, government organisations such as AUSTRAC, ASIC, are taking action appropriately. The ACCC are all very proactive in our community, ensuring that that the laws of the country are obeyed and that the opportunity for organised crime is kept to a minimum. Another one that came out today, of course, was that huge bust that occurred yesterday or overnight with various places in Sydney and around about concerning the use of encrypted phone messages. And it was interesting to hear on the news that the app for the encryption of those calls, which criminals were using, was actually sold on the dark web by the FBI. So the FBI developed the app, sold it on the dark web to criminals, so that the criminals thought, because they're buying it on the dark web, that it was secure and that they were free of any interference by law enforcement authorities. And of course, it's come out today to say that the app was in fact sold, developed and sold by the FBI. So that's wonderful to see that law enforcement agencies are becoming so innovative in what they do. And of course, that was a world, as I understand it, it's been a worldwide operation to bust a lot of drug and gun running organisations, criminal organisations. So well done to our law enforcement people. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for The Law and You. I look forward to being back with you again next week. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.